Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, full of interviews, segments, stories, reports, dispatches, and more. We've got songs and sounds for you today. I think we're talking to Roger Hannigan-Gilson from the Times Union in a few minutes, and we'll talk to Leah Cole, too, the Wave Farm new radio art fellow in from Chicago and Acre. And the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It's all coming up on an hour of information to get your day started on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network on air, in air, waves controlled. Blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. This is the news. 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 This is the network.
Hello, my name is Holly Hedgepeth, and I'm with the Cancer Services Program of Columbia and Greene County, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Kingston-based Dromedary Records is celebrating its 30th anniversary with a special festival September 15th through 17th at Tubby's in Kingston, and the Avalon Lounge, Left Bank Ciders, and Spike's Record Rack in Catskill. WGXC DJs Jeff Economy and Nick and Lisa are on the bill with Speed the Plow, Antietam, Sleepyhead, Lotion, Jenny Toomey, and others. WGXC will webcast the performances from the Avalon Lounge and Spike's Record Rack at wgxc.org/listen. More information is available on the WGXC Community Calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Kathleen Moore reports for the Times Union that a state comptroller's office audit showed that Chatham residents were taxed too much by their school district. The audit found that the district, and I quote, annually appropriated over $1.3 million of fund balance they did not need to use to finance operations. Therefore, taxpayers were taxed more than necessary, end quote. The school board says it used the excess money for a $22 million capital project. The audit showed the Chatham School District raised the tax levy by an average of 1.6% a year, even though they had surpluses every year. Comptroller's office said Chatham officials, and I quote, intentionally overestimating appropriations for the purpose of not using appropriated fund balance while purporting to plan to use fund balance to cover an operating deficit is both misleading to voters and interested parties and lacks transparency, end quote. School officials claim there was no mismanagement, even though they overtaxed citizens and boasted that their mistake gave the school system a strong credit rating, which saved hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest. but in their statements, school officials never admit their error. Read more about this story in the Times Union. With the heat wave continuing in the Hudson Valley, the State Department of Health reminds local residents about cooling centers. In Greene County, two libraries and a senior center are designated as cooling centers. They are the Catskill Public Library, the Hermance Memorial Library in Coxsackie, and the Robert C. Antonelli Senior Center in Catskill. In Columbia County, the Clabrick Free Library, the Germantown Library, the Hudson Area Library, the Kinderhook Memorial Library, the New Lebanon Library, and the Roloff Jansen Community Library in Hillsdale are all cooling centers. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a heat advisory from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on September 7th. Forecasters warn that hot temperatures and high humidity may cause heat illnesses. Billboard reports that Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band have postponed all September dates on their tour, including a stop in Albany. The band released a statement on social media that said, and I quote, "Mr. Springsteen is being treated for symptoms of peptic ulcer disease, and the decision of his medical advisors is that he should postpone the remainder of his September shows," end quote. The band was scheduled to perform in Albany September 19th. Makeup shows will be announced later. Read more about this story in Billboard. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We are prepared to put on evidence and witnesses to prove that Donald Trump engaged in the January 6th insurrection. And hopefully that leads to accountability.
Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington is suing to remove former President Donald Trump from Colorado's primary presidential ballot. Donald Sherman, Cruz's chief counsel, says their lawsuit aims to disqualify Trump on the grounds that he violated the 14th Amendment. That post-Civil War language says anyone who took an oath to uphold the Constitution but then engages in rebellion should be disqualified. Cruz successfully used this argument to force a New Mexico County commissioner from office. Sherman says based on that, other elected officials who took part in the January 6th insurrection could also be disqualified.
There are numerous other people, lower profile people, that certainly deserve to be disqualified from office as well. But as in everything, Donald Trump sort of takes all the oxygen out of the room.
A brief written in August by two members of the Conservative Federalist Society argued courts should consider disqualifying Trump on those grounds. Meanwhile, a lawsuit has been filed against the Alabama Attorney General's office for what plaintiffs call threats to criminalize people seeking out-of-state abortions. Janice Fountain with the Yellowhammer Fund feels Alabama AG Steve Marshall could threaten the organization with prosecution for advocating for something that's fully legal and clearly beyond the Attorney General's right to regulate.
It's important to take a stand because not everyone is able to vocalize their disdain or organize around it, and we are. And so I think it's important for folks to know, like, there are people out here advocating for us having autonomy over our bodies, and it's not something that we can just, like, lay down and say, oh, this is fine.
Missouri Democratic Representative Cori Bush has introduced a $14 trillion measure to compensate the descendants of slaves. While that looks like a long shot, backers want President Joe Biden to support studying the issue through a commission to look at reparations, including but not limited to financial compensation. Maurice Mitchell with the Working Families Party says reparations offer a public safety solution.
Because it is establishing what America has to be in order to be a just and democratic country. And it's also establishing the truth of the American story and connecting American history to American present.
Facing questions from reporters about the state of his health, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell again said he'll finish out his term in the Senate and continue as Minority Leader. The junior senator from Kentucky, Republican Rand Paul, has cast doubt on the opinion of the Senate doctor that McConnell was suffering from dehydration. Paul told Axios that the physician who cleared the leader of his caucus to return to work had not given a valid medical diagnosis. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hey, how are you?
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Tuesday, a U.S. District Court of Appeals struck down in the strongest possible terms the Alabama legislature's revised congressional district maps, drawn in defiance of June's Milligan decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. In Milligan, the nation's highest court affirmed Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, compelling Alabama to add a second majority-minority black district, or, quote, something quite close to it. The legislature responded with one 50.65% majority black district and another with only 40%. The three-judge Court of Appeals threw out that map, saying, quote, "We are not aware of any other case in which a state legislature, faced with a federal court order declaring that its electoral plan unlawfully dilutes minority votes and requiring a plan that provides an additional opportunity district, responded with a plan that the state concedes does not provide that district. The law requires the creation of an additional district that affords black Alabamians, like everyone else, a fair and reasonable opportunity to elect the candidates of their choice." The court then turned the drawing of fair maps over to an independent special master, suggesting that it had no confidence in the legislature to draw a map meeting the SCOTUS requirements or complete it prior to the 2024 election. Still defiant, the state of Alabama says it will appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, September 7th. Local early morning temperatures range from 63 degrees in Stephentown to 72 in Medusa. Regional average soil temperature is 75 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium, and you can expect a steady decline. And that is because, that's right, rain is on the way. A bunch of it. Fortunately, it is not coming all at once. But let's start out with the warnings. Heat warnings are out for all of the Hudson Valley once again today. So are the UV warnings. So avoid that sun if you can. The humidity levels will likely keep you by an air conditioner anyway. Dew points linger at 73 nasty degrees. Today, making conditions dangerous, especially with a high temperature of 93 degrees at 4 p.m. That is just the peak. Most of the afternoon is expected to linger above 90 degrees. About 2 p.m., light rain chances enter the area. By dark, some storms will be active, but likely dispersed. Stormy conditions persist all night as we get a muggy low of 69 degrees. Bet you're glad you left that AC in, huh? And if you didn't, sorry. Tomorrow's temperatures spike at 86 degrees. Dew points still dangerous all day long. Stormy activity is expected for the afternoon. 70 sticky degrees overnight takes us into a Saturday that will also be rainy, but not the relieving kind. Dew points will still be in the 70s. Humidity will be still oppressive. High of 82 is expected. Sunday will be clammy and sticky with a high of 77. That is coupled with dew points that remain in the 70s. And of course, we can expect more rain. Back to today. The tide schedule is low tide at 4:12 a.m. High tide at 9:47 a.m. Low tide again at 4:10 p.m. and high tide once again at 10:10 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 75 degrees and the tide strength will be very low. Sunset today will be at 7:07 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:23 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are hovering at 5%. Plasma winds will be slow at 375 kilometers per second, with a thin density of 4 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad until dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 131, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Oh,
will stay to the bow. Oh, my boat is empty. Yes, my heart is empty. From the hole to the how. From the rudder to the sail. Oh, my boat is empty. Yes, my hand is empty. From the waist to the nail. From the ocean to the bay. Oh, the sand is clean. Oh, my mind is clean. From the night to the day. From the stern to the bar. Oh, my boat is empty. Oh, my head is empty. From the nape to the brow. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Yes, my dream is wrong. From the past to the dead. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Yes, my dream is long. From the past to the dead. From the east to the west. Long. Yes, my dream is wrong. From the birth to the dead. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Oh, my dream is wrong. From the birth to the dead. From the east to the west. Yes, my dream is long. From the birth to the dead. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Oh, my dream is wrong. From the birth to the dead.
Right, I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and just beneath me, we're listening to Untitled Radio, Futile Fertile, from Chicago artist Leah Cole, who is joining us here in the studio right now. Leah, welcome to Wave Farm.
Thank you.
Oops. Now I think we can hear you.
Thank you.
Tell us, you are based in Chicago, and let's see, your Bandcamp says you're a cellist, composer, and sound artist whose work centers on curiosity and patience, an exploration of the mundane and profound possibilities of sound. Would you like to explain that?
I can a little bit, for sure. Just trying to check all the boxes of what I could possibly describe myself as. I am classically trained as a cellist, but I've gotten really interested in kind of the mundane sounds around us, one of which is the radio. And that takes a lot of time. So patience is very important.
It takes a lot of time to listen to the radio?
It takes a lot of time to pay attention, I think.
deep listening, huh?
Yeah, something maybe. Yeah.
What? So you've been putting out these albums the past couple of years, and working with radio in your work as a cellist and sound composer. How do you incorporate radio into your work?
In two ways. I use it as a kind of library of samples. I often record live radio, which again takes a lot of time, and then I use samples of it that I choose. The piece that you were just playing is a series of long recordings of radio static that I took in northern Wisconsin, in a place where there's almost no audible radio signal. It's just mostly just static. So I use it for samples, but I also use it in live performance. I'm an improviser, and I have a couple of radios that I use just as instruments.
And what bands do you like?
What bands do I like?
I mean, radio bands. Oh. Frequencies. What frequencies do you like? I'm sorry, I didn't realize how
that I was question... like, that's a bit of a non sequitur.
Yes. What radio bands do you like?
I just use the AM/FM. AM is fun for, you know, people saying strange things.
It's a little noisier, too, right?
It's a little noisier, too. Yeah, there's some really fun drones. A lot of, like, B major... It's fun, but FM is also great.
And are you interested more in the sounds between stations or the sounds of stations or both?
Definitely both. But I have gotten really interested in like all the things that you think aren't interesting, like, you know, someone talking about the limited time offer at McDonald's and all the things that kind of mark the time that we're in a less obviously interesting way.
What do you think draws you to... sounds that don't sort of stand out in the foreground? You know, like right now, if you're listening closely, there's two people talking, but there's also like a air conditioning fan going on in the background.
Yeah, there's several nice little hums going on.
The 60-second hum of the electricity and the, you know, outlets. You're drawn to those sounds, it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. It does sound like that. I think that in its best form, that's about kind of like a voraciousness for being alive, you know, as much experience as I can have of where I am as possible. I try to get that, which maybe sounds like a weird thing to say about air conditioner hums, but I do actually feel like when I'm in that space, it enhances that experience of presence.
And certainly when it's this hot, it enhances that experience of presence too, right?
That's true.
And then you are here specifically this week because you, I guess we're announcing this on the air. You're the new Wavefarm Radio Art Fellow.
Yes.
So what does that mean to you? And how did you get to here? How did you find out about Wavefarm? And how did you get to be a Wavefarm Radio Art Fellow?
I'm really thrilled to be here. It's I said it this morning in a meeting, in an orientation meeting, that it feels like Disneyland if I liked the idea of Disneyland. But I've been working with the radio as an instrument. So I had like six or seven people send me this application. You should do this. You should do this. You should know about this organization. So I've known about you guys for a few years, and I'm really...
I think we only discovered you like in the last year or two. But,
it's a mutual relationship
but
now.
But we have featured your work a lot in the past year or so, but you've only been putting out these records like 3 or 4 years, right?
Yeah. I had really defined my practice as a collaborative practice, but then the pandemic happened, and that became more difficult. Collaborating,
at least in person,
difficult.
Yes.
Yeah. So I decided to see what I sound like when I'm working alone, and started putting out these albums.
And the radio became the collaborator?
Yes, actually. there's a wonderful quality of, you know, you never know what you're going to get with another human being. And actually the radio has a little bit of that quality too.
And you improvise live in different cities around the country. So you get a sort of taste of the radio soundscape in different places, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was doing a piece recently that included specifically the classical radio station. So every time I got to a new city, I would have to, you know, look up what that was and have that experience.
As someone who's improvised with live radio before, the classical stations can be really fun to work in.
It kind of always sounds good.
Yeah, you can. It can work with anything, sort of. Talk stations can be like that too, because you can add a layer of discourse on top of whatever sounds you're doing. And then I would think, from listening to your albums, it would seem like a rock station is not really the thing that you focus in on too much.
Not so much, but it can be. It can be quite fun. You know, sometimes I get a little classic rock and just decide to keep it there for a minute.
What projects do you, or what, well, first, what are you going to do as a radio fellow? What have you been, you're been in the library all day?
Yeah. It's a great library here. So I guess there are three parts of the fellowship. There's a research element. There's a huge archive here, and I'm going to be looking through that archive and adding to it with my own contributions, not of my own compositions, but other artists that I'm learning about. And then there's an engagement portion where I'll be leading a workshop, related to my work and my interest in the radio as a collaborator, as you mentioned earlier. And then I'll be making a new piece for, to be transmitted, here.
All right. So we'll all listen forward to that.
Yeah.
We often ask, people in your seat, if they have an early, radio, experience that, they remember, like from childhood, like, I listened to, Baltimore Oriole games with a little transistor radio under my pillow as a kid. Do you have any sort of, story like that?
I do actually two. One is listening to my grandma, listening to this preacher. Like, she would have solo time in her bathroom when she permed her hair or curled her hair in the mornings, and she would listen to this preacher, and it was like, I wasn't even particularly interested in what he was saying, but it was about my grandma having this special time to herself that was like, you know, lady time. She had seven kids and numerous grandkids.
So she didn't get much time to herself.
Exactly. So that was her special thing. And then also, I do remember as like a young, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 year old, like, and beyond, but especially in that time, like just searching through the radio for a song that I liked. I didn't have a lot of CDs, so I was like, you know, I can't even remember what the song would be, but yeah, I've
You're
always
younger than
it.
Me, so you probably didn't record songs on a cassette deck off the radio.
Oh, I did do a little bit
you
of
did.
That.
All right,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I also, with my friends, would sometimes make radio shows on cassette. Like, we would just make up news and make up weather and... So.
I did similar things. That's why I'm here, I think.
Sounds like you're fulfilling the
yes.
dream.
But it also sounds like you were doing what you're doing now, listening intently to the radio and recording some things, mm-hmm. maybe not to perform with later, but you were playing with them, sort of, right?
Totally. Yeah, we're just doing the same thing our whole lives, which is honestly pretty exciting to me.
You know, doing what you wanted to do when you were 8 sounds like a great plan for everyone.
Totally.
what do you have coming up? Are you on a tour now? Or?
I'm on a little tour. Yeah, I'm going down to New York to play at Roulette in Brooklyn on Thursday, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Thursday.
Tomorrow is, yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm also participating in a kind of a movement performance also at Roulette on Saturday. And then I'll be at, in Philadelphia at Jerry's on Front on Sunday night.
Woohoo. We love that place too.
Yeah.
All right. We've been speaking with Leah Cole, a Chicago sound artist who is the new Waveform Radio Art Fellow. Anything you want to, that we'd leave out, that you want to mention?
No.
We're going to, can you pick a song from your new album, The Ceiling Reposes, which that we can go out on? Which one do you want to?
How about Sit on the Floor and Wait for Storms, since it's so hot?
Oh, there it is. I see it. Yes, it's number 2.
They're all long.
I'm missing it. All right. Here is Sit on the Floor and Wait for Storms from Leah Cole. Thank you, Leah, for joining us today.
Thank you.
things.
Let's take a look now at the WGXC community calendar. It's full of events for you in person and online. All sorts of things to attend and do. Music, theater, comedy, circus, and more is in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, where you can go and add your own event. Just click on the Add an Event button and cut and paste information in the boxes, and soon enough, folks like me are reading about your event on the radio. Folks around the world are seeing it online at WGXC.org. Thursday, September 7th, the Hudson Thursday Market is in the public square from 4 to 7 p.m. with all sorts of vendors off 7th Street between Columbia and Warren in Hudson. Also, I Am Barbie has its second weekend at the Bridge Street Theater, a local play at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and an afternoon matinee on Sunday. Friday, September 8th, there's a community spaghetti dinner at the American Legion in Greenville. That's post 291. It's from 4:30 to 7 p.m. There's also a Mardi Gras parade at the Coxsackie Riverside Park at 6 p.m. Friday, September 8th. Parade steps off at 6 from Kings Road in Coxsackie, and there's all sorts of vendors and more bands. Skeeter Creek performs at the Mardi Gras Parade and Party at Coxsackie Riverside Park, 6 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Friday, September 8th. On Saturday, September 9th, the Greene County Volunteer Firemen's Association Dress Parade is at the Coxsackie Riverside Park, which is doing all kinds of work this weekend. Lots of stuff to do there. Saturday, September 9th, is also the Catskill Saturday Ukulele Jam every week at the Catskill United Methodist Church from 1:30 to 3 p.m. Also, classical musicians Jonah Genova, Jamesine Mori, Ariel Rudikov, Robert Cooper, Julian Muller, and Jillia Melamedlev are performing at Tideman Farm in Germantown on Saturday, September 9th. That's from 4 to 6 p.m. Classical music show. Opus 40 has a show put on by the co-presented with the Chosen family. It's Al Olender and special guest James Felice of the Felice Brothers. Saturday, September 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties, the legendary earthwork from Harvey Fight. The Widow Jane Mine in Rosendale on Saturday, September 9th hosts something called Elements and Essence, an exploration of the elements through songs and soundscapes. Includes Natasha Project Sonic Elixirs, special guest The Hive Fire, Joachim Larty, and CC Treadway. That's at the Widow Jane Mine, 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 9th. Also Saturday, the Dust Bowl Fairies are at the Park Theater in Hudson, 7 to 10 p.m. At Tubby's in Kingston, Black Duck, which features Doug McCombs from Tortoise, is performing with Kochame Gastelum and the Ryan Jewel Duo. That is and Doug McCombs from Tortoise is joined by Bill McKay and drummer Charles Rumbach in Black Duck. Saturday night at Tubby's in Kingston. And then Sunday, September 10th at No Fun in Troy, Speedy Ortez, Washer, and Candy Ambulance perform. That's 8 to 11 p.m. on Sunday night. These events and many more are in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. Next, we're going to tune in Lost Signals and Drifting Satellites from Annie Gosfield. The track includes satellite sounds, static, machine noise, microtonality, and includes violinist George Kentros. That was Annie Gosfield with Lost Signals and Drifting Satellites.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes when NSI delivers their spin on ambient sounds. Living by Lanterns draws inspiration from Sun Ra. And Ramin Djawadi scores with an epic soundtrack. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM. That was Archie Shepp with Attica Blues on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.